So the topic that I thought we would look at tonight is we're doing different approaches to tshuva. So Rabbi Matenki asked me which approach I'm saying. I said a little bit of the Rav and Rav Cook. He said I didn't leave him with anything. That's not my problem. So when it comes to tshuva, what I would like to discuss tonight is a concept that is actually something that we don't generally associate with tshuva. Hey, when you hear the word tshuva, so first of all, tshuva does not mean I'm sorry. Tshuva means return. And generally means I did something wrong, so I do tshuva on that thing. In fact, Shabbat Tshuva this year, we're going to talk all about tshuva for not caring enough, for being apathetic. But here, generally, I did something wrong. I violated something, whatever it is. I didn't make a bracha. I said Lashon Hara. So I said, I do all the steps. The Rambam tells us, any mitzvah, bein asim and los asim, whatever it is. So let's say it's Lashon Hara. So what do? I say, I apologize profusely. I say, I'm not going to do it again. I take the steps to ensure I'm not going to do it again. That is classic tshuva. Repentance on the things that I have done wrong. So if I were to ask you, can you do half tshuva? You would say, no, there are certain steps. In fact, the Rambam goes through the steps. And you apologize and you vidu and you verbalize it. And when you finish with all those things, okay, so then you did tshuva and God says, I can forgive you. So there wouldn't necessarily be a thing called partial tshuva. There would be either it's tshuva or it's not tshuva. So look at this Gemara here in source number 2. So it's based on this Gemara that we are going to discuss really a fascinating, fascinating topic. Says the Gemara. If a person, right, we're going to get to this in the Daf Yomi, not so long for now. It says the Gemara. If a person says, I'll marry me al menas sha'ani tzaddik. Marry me on condition that I am a tzaddik. So what does that mean? Marry me on condition that I am a tzaddik. So I'm not going to ask you to determine who's a tzaddik and who's not a tzaddik. But afilu rasha gamor. So even if the guy's rasha gamor, so generally when it comes to halacha, if you make a condition in kiddushin, in an engagement, and that condition is not fulfilled, the condition doesn't work. If you say, marry me on condition, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, you don't do X, Y, and Z, doesn't work. However, here, the Gemara goes out of its way to say, even if it's a Russia Gummer, even if the guy is, everybody agrees, he's a bad guy. Says the Gemara, it's Mikudeshes. It works. Shema hirher tshuva bedato. What does that mean? Shema hirher doesn't say, maybe he was like a hidden tzaddik, art school wrote a whole book about him, you thought he was a loser, but really, when he died, all the aniyim were poor again. No. This guy's a bad guy. What does it mean, here, tshuva bidato? What does that mean? He thought about it. He thought about doing tshuva, and that makes him into a what? Into a tzaddik. So what does this mean? Okay, good. So that's how we started, exactly. It seems that real tshuva needs action. I do things wrong, I apologize, I say I'm not going to do them again, I feel bad, and I don't do them again, until obviously I do them again, but that's why we have the Yom Rosh Hashanah every single year. So let's look at a little bit of where this plays out and how it comes up in different areas of halacha. This is the concept called hirher tshuva, just thinking about tshuva. What does it mean, thinking about tshuva? So that means that you can waltz right on in Rosh Hashanah morning. You didn't think about tshuva at all. You didn't care about it. You come in and you're like, you know what? I think about it a little bit. Does that mean that's it? Now you're a tzaddik? Says Rabbi Soloveitchik. So go down about four to the end of the fourth line. Says the Rav. Elanir Ali. Shehirer tshuva. What does it mean, hirer tshuva? Ein apshat. She'asa tshuva v'shav belibo. It doesn't mean that he thought about it and in his inner heart of hearts he did it. He accomplished tshuva that none of us could ever think about doing, but so, no. Elahir tshuva, kemohir havira. He thought about it, like you think about doing sins. Shemeharer laasos ba'asid avera v'chinhir b'tshuva. What does it mean? Shemeharer tshatzarech laasos cheshbon ha'nefesh. He says, you know what? It's really time for me to start thinking about tshuva. It's really time for me to like get down to it, make a list, how I'm going to improve. He didn't make a list. You didn't do the list. You thought about making a list. Imagine if someone tells you, go shopping, and you said, I thought about making a list, and you didn't have a list. That wouldn't work. That's a lot of phone calls from Jewel. So says the Rav, V'gamze mashvolet tzaddik. Not only is that tshuva, but that's equatable to a tzaddik. Shemehar laso tshuva mahar l'shanos derachav. V'zeh pshat ha'amiti v'hirher tshuva. This is the real pshat of what it means, hirher tshuva, that you thought about doing tshuva. And then the Rav goes one more step. And now there's actually a lot to develop here that you get on your own. But he says, this is the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah, which we'll come back to in a little bit. That the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah, that's why we call Rosh Hashanah Yom Truah. So you don't call Sukkot Yom Sukkah, and you don't call Pesach Yom Pesach. So Rav Druk writes, and his machzor, Rav Druk says, because the shofar is supposed to inspire us to start thinking about tshuva. What do I do the rest of the day? The rest of the day, I think about tshuva. And I get inspired, and I think about it more. So says the Rav, this is tshuva Rosh Hashanah. Shofar me'orah oso she'asid tshuva. The shofar says, do tshuva. U'mekitzo me'orah mishinaso mahavli ha'olam. And you like are shooken out of this, whatever world you were in, and tell you, hey, let's focus. U'bezeh levar yishkim tshuva. And that is tshuva. It's an amazing, amazing thing. That if you are inspired at some point over the Yom HaRayim, and from that inspiration you say, you know what, I really have to start thinking about tshuva. Yeah.
Isn't that the reason why it's discouraged from taking a nap on Rosh Hashanah the first day?
So part of that is the idea that you should be involved in tshuva. Yeah, you come take a nap and you can lie on the couch. That's for people that have a break, by the way, on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. You take a nap after Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. But says the Rav, yeah, exactly. You should be involved in the tshuva process the whole day. But if a person thinks about it and he wants to be better, that works even if it doesn't lead to anything. That want that I have to do tshuva, that in of itself is very, very important. So where does this come up throughout rabbinic literature? So look at the next source, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And we'll learn this Gemara a different way than generally we think to learn this Gemara. The Gemara tells us about Elazar ben Dordaya. So Elazar ben Dordaya led a pretty, pretty awful life. He was doing all the bad things, and he visited every zona in the world. And the Gemara tells us that we're going through the whole Gemara, but the Gemara tells us he gets to this zona all the way on the other side of the world. He spends all his money to get there. And she breathes air into, and she says, just like that air won't ever go back. Ah, Elazar ben Dordaya, you're no good, you're good for nothing, you're never going to do tshuva, you're a goner. So, and you look in like the second paragraph, so what happens? Halach v'yosha ben shnei harim u'gvos. So then he basically tries, and as the Sif Sechaim explains, to place the blame everywhere else but on himself. It's the mountain's fault, which is probably reference to parents and to teachers. Right, whenever somebody's doing something wrong, it's usually not the parents' fault first. It's the Rebbe, it's the principal, it's the Mora, somebody else. Then he goes to Shemayim Va'aretz, then he goes to the Chama Levana, then he goes to the Kochavim, he goes to everything. And they all say, sorry pal, we're not davening for you, like you're on your own. So the Gemara says, in the last four lines, Amar, Eina Davar Tali Elabi, this is on me. It's on me. He niach rosho bein, he puts his head between his knees, when he cries until he dies. He got Olam Haba. But in die, the Gemara says, because he in the last line, Rebbe says, So what happened? Like, was that real tshuva? Like the last moment he felt so bad that had he lived more, he wouldn't have done anything wrong and he would have gone through the steps of tshuva? Or does it mean at that moment, at the end of his life, he just thought about the fact that things have to change, that this is not the way I should go about it. And you know what? It's time that I start a cheshbon nefesh. And then he dies. That's hir her tshuva. That's not real tshuva. Learn this Gemara Elazar ben Dordaya. That's real tshuva. Like some people, the Gemara says, are kona olam b'sha'achas. Like in that 1 hour, that one moment of tshuva, he accomplished something that we try for, we cry throughout Yom HaRayim. We cry in Elah. And we daven and we klap al chayin. We do all of these things. Huh?
Did he know he was going to die?
What? Doesn't seem like it.
But he cried. See? But he did something. I mean, how many of us cry during daven? I don't see anything.
Hold on a second. There are steps to tshuva. Right? He didn't say, Chatasi Avisi Pashati, and I'm not going to do it again. And if it was presented to me again, I wouldn't do it. A kid comes in class and he cheats every single test. He comes to me and says, I'm really, really, and he starts crying. All of a sudden, we're going to say he's okay. So either the pshat is, well, let's see. The next test, if he doesn't cheat, then we'll know he's doing tshuva. That would be classic tshuva. Here, it seems that, yeah, he is doing some kind of maisa, but that maisa isn't a maisa tshuva of the steps of tshuva. It's just thinking about tshuva. What we call the want to do tshuva. Right? It might not even be that I want it, but that I want to want it. Right? That is a concept in the world called the want to want. I might not be somebody that... So forget even tshuva for a second. Take anything in the world. A person is not so motivated in tefillah. He davens, and he thinks it's fine. So he could say, I want to be the person that wants to be better at tefillah. That's hirer tshuva. And Rabbi Soloveitchik explained, that is the same thing. This idea, both that Gemara in Kiddushin, and this Melezer ben Dordaya, that's the same idea. As long as that, when a person made that Kiddushin, he says, marry me because I'm a tzaddik. At that moment, if he really felt, you know what, my whole life I've been not a great guy. I've done bad things. I said, la lashon hara. But you know what, when I'm getting engaged right now, this girl has made me, I want to be the best person in the world. That's a tzaddik. And that's halacha l'maisa. It's not fluffy. This is real. It's real halacha. So if you turn to the next, the pages are numbered. Yeah. Right. And that thought of tshuva is so powerful that even if he thought of it, even if we think he thought about it, we're going to give him that title of tzaddik. So now, skip a page and go to Rabbi Soloveitchik on the net, not on the page where it says before Hashem. Go to the next page. So at the top, he says. At that point, when a voice from the heaven proclaimed that both Rabbi Chanina as well as the executioner would enter in the world to come, in response to this divine verdict, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi cried, marveling at some individuals merit the world to come only after a lifetime of effort, while others acquire such a reward after only a brief effort. To report Rabbi Zizek, there is what to say that we did this in a shir last year, Yom Kippur night, that the turn that he makes, that idea of just thinking about tshuva is an act of tshuva itself. And that's what Herod Shuvah is. So says the Rav, why did Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi have such an emotional reaction to the afterlife destiny of the executioner? The answer is, although prior to the incident, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had understood the redemptive power of tshuva. It's a great chap of Rabbi Soloveitchik. Until that point, Rabbi said, I know tshuva. I know the steps. I've learned the Gemaras and the Mishnayos. I know how it works. Person does tshuva, he keeps the... And that, by the way, the fact that works... is a gift from Hashem. The philosophers like Spinoza, they didn't understand the tshuva. It didn't make sense to them. Whoever you are today, that's it. You can't change what you did in the past. And we know the tshuva has the power to change things. It's an unbelievable thing. Right? The fact that we have free will in this world is a proof. Tshuva is a proof that we have free will. Because I can go back and I can fix it. It's an amazing, amazing thing. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi he marveled at the fact that tshuva just exists. That you could have done something wrong 6 months ago, and if you feel bad about it, and you really went through tshuva, God says, not only was that not an avera, that even has the potential to be a mitzvah. That's unbelievable. What a gift. What a gift from God. But says Rabbi Soloveitchik, what made Rabbi so overwhelmed with emotion? He didn't understand the redemptive power of hir tshuva. Many mitzvahs in the Torah involved an objective act coupled with a subjective component. Right. Take a step back. There are some mitzvahs we do; they're just an act. Yes, they should be meaningful and great and inspirational. But if you picked up the lulav and you weren't thinking about anything, the Gemara says midag benofak bay. You did it, whether or not you had an intention doesn't make a difference. You did the mitzvah. Some mitzvahs are just my emotion, right? Loving Hashem. That's a mitzvah in my mind. So says the Rav, there are some mitzvos that have both an objective act and a subjective component, meaning the recitation of Shema, for example, he says, both involves the act of recitation as well as the proper intention, namely accepting the yoke of the kingdom of heaven, the mitzvah of hearing shofar. So if you said Shema, and you did not have in mind that it's Mekabel Malchus Shemayim and all the mitzvos, it doesn't work. You actually have to go back and repeat it. Right? Because you weren't thinking it. Other parts of tefillah, that's okay. But certain mitzvahs, you have to feel it. So he says Rabbi Soloveitchik, the mitzvah of shofar, he says, is the same thing. It has a dual nature. One is not only obligated to hear the shofar, we must experience the jarring awakening associated with hear her tshuva. That's lishmoach, where you have to hear the shofar. It's not enough to blow the shofar. The mitzvah is not litkoa shofar. You have to hear something. And then, what do you go ahead and what do you do with it? When I hear something, you internalize it, and it motivates you. So says the Rav, precisely what is involved in the emotional experience of hear her tshuva. The Rav said that while abstract concepts are often easily described, he can't really describe this emotion. So he tells this very powerful story. He reluctantly related the personal occurrence as an analogy to clarify this concept. The seventh day of Pesach, he says, I awoke from a fitful sleep. A thunderstorm is raging outside. The wind and rain blew angrily through the window of my room. Half awake, I quickly jumped to my feet, closed the window. I thought to myself that my wife was sleeping downstairs in the sunroom next to the parlor. And I remember the window was left open. She could catch pneumonia, and her weakened physical condition would be devastating. I ran downstairs, rushed to her room, slammed the window shut, and then turned around to see whether she had awoken from the storm or if she was still sleeping. I found the room empty, the couch where she slept nearly covered. In reality, she had passed away the previous month. The most tragic and frightening experience was the shock that I encountered in that half second when I turned from the window to find the room empty. I was certain a few hours earlier I'd been speaking with her. Then at 10 o'clock, I said goodnight. I cannot understand why the room is empty. And says the Rav, that's what we're supposed to feel like in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, you'll notice in Rosh Hashanah, there is no sin on Rosh Hashanah. This Shabbos in the afternoon, Shalosh Tudos, we're going to talk a little bit about some machzor insights. Right, so we don't mention any sin on Rosh Hashanah. I love that. And whenever I start machzor with my students, the first thing I ask them is, how many times do we do this in Rosh Hashanah? They're like calculating, like, Shwana Esrei, it's zero. Certain minhagim, they don't even say the first Avidah Malkeinu. Avidah Malkeinu Chatana Lefanecha, they cut it out. We don't eat nuts in Rosh Hashanah. Because the gematria of egos. You can have peanut butter. Whatever. Okay? Why? We say as far away from sin as possible. The job of Rosh Hashanah. Now, if you were making the schedule, you would have put Rosh Hashanah second. Yom Kippur goes first. I apologize. Then I start my relationship again. We're the opposite. It's a fresh start on Rosh Hashanah. And that fresh start comes with, I should be inspired. Then, as I'm inspired, as I think about it, then I have 10 days. That's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity. This is hear her tshuva. Hear her tshuva is that I'm just thinking about it. So if I go through my tefillah in Rosh Hashanah, and at some point I am motivated to say, you know what, this really should be a time that I'm gonna start being better, that I really would like to be better at this, or cut this out, or do more of this, and then it doesn't always happen. So there are two answers. The first answer is, it's okay, that's life. And that's why every year we have this opportunity. The other answer is, it's not nothing. The thinking about it, talking about it, just internalizing it, even if it doesn't come to anything, is actually accomplishing something. It might not look like it, and there might not be real steps that I can say, well, I thought about it. Mesillas Yesharim, in the fourth parak, I believe in the fourth and fifth parak, Mesillas Yesharim is, you know, when he's writing the Ramchal, and it's really beautiful to go through, you know, the Mesillas Yesharim, and he says, you know, if you want to be good at life, so here are the steps. And he talks at length about Cheshbon HaNefesh in the earlier Prakim as well. Why is Cheshbon HaNefesh so important? He says Cheshbon HaNefesh means a person sits down and they go through their day and their month, and whether that is the time they allotted for the certain things or the actions that they did or the words that they spoke, or even if it's to figure out where else can I improve. So that if a person says, you know what, I need more of that, I would like to do more of that, that is a massive step of tshuva. We usually jump to tshuva as saying, what are the lists? If you look at the Chai Adam, for example, the Chai Adam has a list of every sin, not every sin, based on the Aleph base. Right? So if you want to sit there on Yom Kippur break and you want to, like, you know, really feel bad, you can go through with the Chai Adam's list of all the Averas. And usually we think of tshuva, the first thought is, what did I do wrong? How do I say I'm sorry? And we go through, and there are plenty. But the first step of tshuva is saying that this is the year that I want to be better. And even if it doesn't happen, that initial step is very, very important. So if you turn now to Rav Kook. So let's go to Rav Kook for a second on the last page. Because in a few of Rav, so this is the Rav and a little bit of Rav Kook. But this approach to tshuva, I think, is so, so important. The idea that, you know, there's a story of Rav Kook, that Rav Kook, I think he was, I'm not sure who he was with, but Rav Kook told the person, you know, it's time to do tshuva. And the man said, perhaps. And then he died. And Rav Kook said, He thought that was Hera Tshuva. Right, perhaps Tshuva is really an opportunity for me to realign myself. Where am I? What can I do more? And just thinking about it. So listen to a few pieces of Rav Kook, which are so powerful. So look at the top. In source number six, says Rav Kook, Al-Adei hear her tshuva, through the thoughts of tshuva, not tshuva itself, but just thinking about tshuva, Shemeya Adam kol Hashem akori olam mitoch haTorah. When you just think about tshuva, you can hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to you. It's an amazing thing from Rav Kook. Umitoch kol rikshei halev, and from all of his emotions, mitocha olam umlo v'chol hashirban, from all of that is hir tshuva, hey megalim es omek haratzon. And this is why it's so important to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is about the deepest part of who I am. The deepest part of who I am is not only in the things that I'm sorry for what I did, but in what I really want to accomplish. If I sat down and made a real cheshbon ha-nefesh, what do I really want? What do I really want to do? This is actually something that I do every year. I do it with my students, but I do it by myself. And when I do it with my students, for example, I tell them, you should make a list on Rosh Hashanah for all your Menorahim Davin. You should keep it in your Machzer. But that list should not only be the people that are sick and that need a refuah. Of course we should daven for them. But what are the aspirational goals that I have for myself? Because that really opens up what the Omek Halev, what really is in our hearts, this is what we want. We want to get close to God. We want to have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So says Rav Kook, here hurei tshuva, megalim es Omek haratzon. That really reveals, v'agvura shal neshama misgale ayodem mechom milo yehodeh. And all the thoughts of tshuva and the strength of my neshama, it's all revealed through these ideas, through just thinking about it. Through the notion that I want to be better. For example, he says in the next paragraph, just in the first line, he says, Haratzon hatov hu akol. The most important thing that we have in our tshuva process is ratzon. It's the want. It's the want to want. And this idea, this is before my time, but there was a show in NPR in the 1950s. People would call in. I think it was on like Saturday nights. You would call in, and you would tell like the dreams that you had for yourself. I forgot exactly what it was called, but it was this idea. People would call in the dreams that they would have. Right? This is the want. And if you don't have that dream that you want to want, and he says, everything else is only helping me get there. So here tshuva is what do I really want? What do I really want? You know, on the opposite side of it is the famous Rambam that if you beat a person until he gives the get, why is that considered okay? That's really what he wants in his deepest of hearts. Ah, he didn't look like it. We had to beat him up. That's really what he wants. But now go to source number eight. Says Rav Kook, V'cholam margish ba'atzmo. And when you feel within yourself, omenk nicham atshuva. So, What is regret? Now, regret is a massive part of tshuva. Charata is a very important part of regret. What's charata? What does charata look like? Charata isn't I'm sorry. Regret. And what does it mean I regret it? I feel bad? Could be. Regret, if you look in Navi, when the word nicham comes up, regret, it doesn't mean I feel bad. It means I wouldn't have done it. I realized what that did. And had I been in that situation, I wouldn't have acted that way. So when a person goes through their tshuva process and they feel, yeah, like there is part of me, this maros hamachshava litikun pigamov, and I want to be better. This is what I want to do, says Rav Kook. It's an amazing line. Whether or not you actually fix it, bein osan shetikunu kvar ola biyadam, whether the things, right? So a person speaks Lashon Hara. They have a big problem with Lashon Hara. And they're davening, and all of a sudden it hits them. They close their eyes, they take out their little sheet, and they wrote on their sheet, I want to be better at Lashon Hara. And they really feel bad. They feel bad. You're like the person who says they want to be a tzaddik. You're like Lezer ben Derudaya. That feeling. So now, what happens if come next Rosh Hashanah? Oh, if they spoke a little less Lashon Hara, amazing. Matov v'manayim. And maybe they spoke more Lashon Hara. Does that mean it didn't work? That would be very difficult. So says Rav Kook, whether it's so you fix it, or bein osam shetikunam eino ole, whether you haven't yet fixed it, maybe you won't. Yichlom etz atzom bezeh bichlal hatzadikim. You already can be included in the people who are called tzadikim. A tzadik does not mean the guy with a long white beard who everybody respects and you stand up when he walks in the room. A tzaddik means, like the Gemara said earlier, first of all, tzaddik means righteous. It means that in his heart, he wants to do something. And with this approach to tshuva, we can understand a number of things. So first of all, we understand that tshuva is not just, here's what I did wrong and this is what I want to be better at. Tshuva is, what do I want to be? What if I really thought about it, everything else is all part of that goal. What do I really want? What do I really want? If I do that, number one, I'm a tzaddik. Same way that the person who's a Rosh Hagamor and says, marry me as a tzaddik. It helps us understand why Rosh Hashanah comes before Yom Kippur. Why Rosh Hashanah has no mention of Chatayim, no Al Chetz, no Hasham news. It's not a time for sin. The goal of Rosh Hashanah is to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when I am Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is with me connecting with Ribono Shel Olam. And me having that relationship. This is going to be all of Shabbat Shuvah. Is on this topic, yeah? What? Yeah,
it is a judgment thing,
but it is a judgment thing that is starting. Meaning, our judgment doesn't start with us saying "I'm sorry," and our judgment starts with us connecting with Hashem, and that is really the goal of the shofar. The goal of the shofar is, as the Rambam says, to wake us up, but not just to wake us up. We should hear it. We should be inspired. I always announce. I'll announce it again this year. Whenever we build a shofar, everybody's always watching the Baal Tokeya. Why? He's gonna do it whether or not you're looking at him. It probably doesn't help that everybody's staring at him. But the real place is to close a person's eyes and to think about it and to hear the sound of the shofar. This year we only have one day. To hear the sound of the shofar, to internalize it. That is why it's Lishmoa Kol Shofar. It's all about listening. Everything in Rosh Hashanah is about listening. It's about hearing it, internalizing it. We're very bad at listening today. Right, the studies show that like the second someone says something to you, you already know what you're going to respond to them. You're not listening to what they're saying. You're just focused on what your response back is going to be. So it's about listening. It's why it's lishmoa kol shofar. It's not just to blow it. It's to hear it. It's to internalize it. It's why it's a yom truah. So that when I blow the shofar and the whole day I'm spent thinking about tshuva, doing tshuva, and then after Rosh Hashanah, then I go. And then Rav Kook really takes it to the next level. That if I think about these things and I said perhaps I'm going to do tshuva. And my want to be better, or my want is to want to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, then I can be yichlol ha-tzadikim. I can count myself as one of the tzadikim. And that's something to think about. It's a different approach to tshuva. It's a different angle on tshuva. And I think it's something that we can think about, Mirtz Hashem, as we approach Rosh Hashanah. Okay?